Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why X and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. This one's going to be a great episode. Today, my guest is Joe Smith. He is the son of the late Bulldog Don Kent. We're going to talk to Joe about his dad and his career, and we're going to remember one of the most underappreciated talents ever in pro wrestling history. So let's take a quick break and get right to it. When I come back, I'll have that interview with Joe Smith.
Phil Singer Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilSingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is PhilSinger Games, PhilSingerGames.com to order now.
If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams.
All right, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time we're going to remember one of the most underrated talents in professional wrestling history, Bulldog Don Kent. And to do that, we are being joined by his son, Joe Smith. Joe, how are you?
Just great, Dave. Just great. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm a big fan of your father. And I, to me, one of the most underappreciated guys ever in professional wrestling. So let me start with getting to understand you a little bit. What year were you born?
I was born in 1954.
Okay. And where were you born?
I was born in Atchison, Kansas.
Okay. All right. So it just gives me a little timetable here. So, man, there's a lot about your dad to unwrap. Your dad, let's start with this. He was a standout baseball player.
Yes, he was a standout baseball player and a standout football player, too.
Yeah. And but I'm a big baseball fan. So I'm fascinated by it because your dad was recruited by the Red Sox out of high school. Is that right? That's
correct. Yes. My grandfather wouldn't sign to let him go into the minor leagues.
Yeah.
He wanted him to go to school, go to college. He had a scholarship to Boston College to play football there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there. I mean, I would think, you know, context is key here because at that time, it's not like Major League Baseball today, coming out of high school, right? He wasn't coming out of high school. He wasn't guaranteed millions of dollars and his big signing bonus. That's probably a smart move on your grandfather's part to push that, right? Because it's again, it was a whole different business as is today. But
Oh, yeah.
it's always fascinating because right, you hear about. And again, you said your dad played football and everything, but you hear so much about, you know, in professional wrestling, the former football players and blah blah blah. But I'm always, again, as a baseball fan, it's always fascinating to me with these guys that had these baseball careers. And I think was your dad a catcher? Is that what I
Yes, he
remember?
was.
Yeah,
Yes, he was.
right. Makes sense. I mean that sounds right. I'm fascinated by that, right? Because my favorite American League team is the Red Sox, so. I always think the what if. What if Don Kent had played for the Red Sox? But we probably wouldn't be having this talk. That'd
You're
probably be
probably
it.
right.
No,
You're
I'd probably a
probably
different
right.
yeah, probably a different podcast. But like you said, he went to college in Kansas. But then he came back to Battle Creek, Michigan, and was trained for wrestling by Leapin' Larry Shane, which
Well, let me straighten a little bit of that out.
okay, please do.
Actually, yeah, Dad, because Dad was in Kansas. He went to St. Benedict's because that's him and my mom got married. That's why he left Boston College,
Okay.
all that good sort of thing. And yeah, once he got married and he decided he needed to take care of his family, so they moved back to Battle Creek. He went to work for the Veterans Administration as an athletic director
Okay.
at the Battle Creek VA Hospital. And one of our neighbors, because we lived in Galesburg, I think it was either Galesburg or Augusta, I can't remember which. One of the neighbors was a professional wrestler.
Okay.
And he saw Dad and he asked Dad if he wanted to make a few bucks on the side. And of course he said yeah, because I think he was making like 40 bucks a week as athletic director back in what, 55 or whatever, 56.
Yeah.
And so his very first match, I can't remember the guy's name. I can see him plain as day in my mind's eye, but I can't remember his name. And Dad made $5 for that night.
Yeah.
And it was five more bucks than he had before the night began.
Sure. Yeah. And
And
oh, go ahead.
so Dad, and he did good. He did very good.
Yeah.
And so they were very interested in him. It was Bert Ruby out
Yeah.
of Royal Oak, Michigan, or Southfield there, that took an interest in Pop. And so that reached a point where Dad had to make a decision whether he was going to stay at the athletic, at the VA, or if he was going to try to do this wrestling thing.
Yeah.
And he decided he was going to, because Bert told him that he had talent. So that's how Dad got into it. That's how it all started.
Yeah.
And he was then trained by Leaping Larry Shane.
Yeah.
My sister and I, Larry taught us how to swim when we were,
Really?
oh yeah, five, 4 and 5 years old. How he did it, my mom had heart failure, is he showed us the stroke to use and then he threw us in his pool.
Well, that's how else do you learn, I guess, right?
That's right. And Larry had all daughters. He had a bunch of daughters.
Okay.
So unfortunately, tragically, Larry was killed in a car accident a few years later.
Yeah. And Larry Shane's one of those, right? Those names lost to time. A very legendary figure in wrestling in the Midwest. And
Oh, he's a great guy.
And again, you mentioned, right, your dad making decisions based on his family. That's going to be a reoccurring theme for your dad, right?
Yes.
He's unique in that aspect. In his right, I call him underappreciated, but he's only underappreciated really because he made decisions with his family in mind first.
Oh, yes, always.
Yeah, and again, you can't fault the guy for that,
Well,
at all.
I could tell you a story. I'll just throw it in here right now.
Sure.
We're going to fast forward here real quick. Dad had gotten quite successful wrestling, and my senior year in high school, it was Father's Night. did for football. Uh-huh. And Dad was supposed to be the headliner down in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And he didn't want to miss Dad's night. And it was a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And so he chartered an airplane. And he stayed till halftime and was introduced, you know, and all that. And then him and my mom and my sister all got on a charter out of Kellogg Airport there.
Mm-hmm.
And flew down and came back. He had him fly. When they came back, he had him fly over the field to see if the score was up, whether we'd won or lost. That was what he was most concerned about.
Sure.
And so, my mother told me, she said, you know, everything Dad earned tonight, he spent on the plane.
Well, of course. So did you go to high?
That was his commitment to his family.
Sure.
That was always number one.
Did you go to high school in Indianapolis?
No. I went up in Battle Creek.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So he was working in Indianapolis. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. He was flying down. He had to go down because he was the main event.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so he was going on last. So that was part of he got there just in time too.
Sure. Yeah. And people that don't, you know, only know the modern style wrestling don't appreciate how big a star your father was in different territories. And he worked in Michigan, and that's where he really, really became a star first in the early 60s.
He was up in Michigan, and he was jumping Joe Smith and leaping Larry Shane.
Yeah.
He went down to Nashville in the late 50s to Nashville, Tennessee. Nick Gulas was the promoter there at the time.
Yeah.
And Nick, you know, he met my dad. Dad at that time was wrestling with I don't remember the guy's name, but they were called the Black Dragons. Dad had a mask.
Oh, okay.
And so they wrestled as the Black Dragons. And Bert, and this is not very nice, but Bert told him to get rid of his partner and that he wanted to promote him as Don Kent, Clark Kent, something.
Yeah.
And so that's how Dad became Don Kent, because he said Joe Smith just isn't going to cut it.
Yeah. Okay. So that was a question I had. So the Don Kent name is a derivative of Clark Kent?
Yeah. Because that's Nick Gulas was, call yourself Clark Kent, whatever, you know, he's thinking Superman, what, you know,
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, so Dad's like, I'm not going to be Clark Kent. And I don't know how they'd hit on it, but they hit on Don Kent then.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, there's a lot of things in pro wrestling you can't really overthink. It's just off the cuff.
Yep.
That's so wild. I always wondered where he got the Kent thing. Never thought about Clark Kent, but that's wild. And one of the places that your dad really became a star was in Arizona.
Yes. Yes.
And, he became a top heel there. And it always stood out, right? And he had a feud against, you know, Tito Montez, which put him over the top. What was it like during that period? I mean, did the whole family move to Arizona? Did he ever talk to you? What was it like during his days in Arizona as the top heel?
My sister and I, we always attended private school, went to Catholic school because we're all Catholic.
Okay.
And so down there, Dad put us in school. We lived by, Camelback Mountain, and we went to school across the city. Uh-huh. And Mom and Dad told us that we weren't to tell them, if they asked what Bop Pop did, he's an entertainment. Do not tell them who he is.
Okay.
So that was, and for us, that was like, okay, no big deal.
Sure.
My sister and I were kind of used to it a little bit by that point in time.
Yeah.
And we never thought it was anything special to me. To us, it was like Dad, you know, he was going to go down to the factory and work or go wherever. He just went and did his thing.
Yeah.
He didn't. When I was little, I don't recall him talking too much about, you know, what was going on.
Well, that's
with the business.
Yeah. That was actually my next question is, was there ever a point where he did discuss the business a little more at home?
Yes. Oh, yes. As I got older, I used to go with him sometimes. And he'd tell me things, and that's where some of the stories, some of the things that he would tell me about. He gave me life lessons, all sorts of good things. It was, in fact, my dad, I used to tell people that my dad wasn't just my dad, he was my best friend.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was definitely a great guy.
Yeah.
Awesome guy.
Yeah, I mean, did he smarten you up a little bit on when you're talking about later? He talked about a little more. Did he smarten you up as if, hey, this,
Yes.
you're going to see this. It's not really on the up and up.
When we were down in Arizona, I asked my dad for the first time that is wrestling fake?
Oh, yeah.
And he picked me up and body slammed me.
Did that feel fake?
It knocked the wind out of me. And
Sure.
I looked and I was just like, trying to get some air. And he says, now I'm going to show you how to land, boy.
There you go. Okay.
And he did. He showed me all sorts of little things that at the time I just thought was normal. At my age, at my, and I wasn't very big at that point in time.
Yeah.
And so sometimes guys bigger than me would try to target you.
Sure.
And dad taught me how to take care of those people. And yeah, I lit them up. And it was just based on what dad taught me how to wrestle. I knew how to wrestle when hell I he and I used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
He was a big proponent of amateur wrestling too. Greco-Roman style and
Sure.
freestyle. So, but dad was always a huge, like I said, a huge sports fan. When we were down in Arizona, we used to go to the Phoenix Twin 50s or the Indy cars,
Yeah,
because the
right.
promoter there, Ernie Muhammad, he had some car. He had two cars that raced at Indy,
Yeah.
and he had built a lot of the highways in Arizona. And so we used to, go, because we used to sit in his box. And after a number of the races, we've got pictures of myself sitting in Parnelli Jones's. I don't know if you remember Parnelli Jones.
I do. Yeah. I'm originally an Indiana guy, so you're speaking my language. I'm a huge IndyCar fan,
Oh,
particularly of
well.
the 500. Bright Parnelli, a former Indy 500 winner.
Oh, yeah, Dad. And my father was a huge car fanatic.
Oh
And
yeah.
so there's pictures. I got to sit in Parnelli Jones's car. We got
Oh.
pictures with Parnelli kneeling down next to me with his arm around me and Dad standing there. And then AJ Foyt, I was in his car too.
Yeah.
And I got to
Oh.
shake hands with him and Dad standing there, So it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me jealous.
And Pop used to tell, well, Pop used to go on, and Dad was very good at baiting people or getting people to piss to not like him.
Yeah, well, he knew how to work them.
And oh God, he did. I remember him telling people that he didn't spend any of his money in Arizona. He used to pack it up in suitcases and send it back to his home state.
That's
And so, and
great.
everybody believed him, but it was like, even as a kid, I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so when did you start going to shows with your dad?
Oh God, but back then, and when we were in Phoenix, we'd go to a lot of the shows with him. Ernie also, Mr. Muhammad also owned a roller derby team. And so
Yeah.
we used to go there at times, my sister and I, because we got to skate on the bank track after the derby was over with.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with tamales at that point in time.
Oh,
That's another
yeah.
story.
Oh, I love a good tamale.
But yes, and so we went there. I got a particular story for you there.
Yeah.
We were at Dad was it was Saturday night or Friday night in Casa Grande, Arizona, and that
Okay.
was a weekly wrestling match, show, I should say. And I was back in the dressing room with Dad, and we were walking out to go to the car. My mom and sister were already in the car, and Dad and I walked out, and two guys were waiting for my dad, and one
Oh.
guy had a sawed-off shotgun.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, and the guys confronted my dad, and I was like, I'm a little kid, and I'm
Sure.
like, oh my God. And
Yeah.
Dad looked at him. I remember him, and he said something, called one of them a punk, and grabbed the shotgun with one hand and hit him with the other, knocked him flat. And he told me, he turned to me, he said, Joey, go get the deputies. So I ran in and got them, and they came out, and he said, Don, what do you want to do with them? And he said, just give them a talking to. I don't have time to press charges. I just want to go home. And so that was it. And we got in the car. Mom said, what took so long? And Dad said, oh, nothing. And I started to tell my mom, and Dad said, nothing.
Just part of the job, right? That's
Yep. So.
well, and one thing that your dad is probably most known for, right? In 67, your dad began teaming with Al Costello in a new
Yes.
version of the Fabulous Kangaroos.
That's correct.
Yeah, and people, I don't know if modern fans can grasp how big the Fabulous Kangaroos were. Right? They traveled everywhere. They were a major national attraction.
Yes.
And this, again, this is one of the periods your dad's most known for. What was that like as your dad moved into this? Because that's a different level, right? Teaming with the Kangaroos, being this attraction that's going all over. What was that like?
Oh, that was great. Of course, the Kangaroos were heels too.
Yeah.
At that point in time. Previously, they hadn't been, but they were now. And people, they just hated them. And Dad at first wouldn't speak because he couldn't do the Australian dialect because he was born at Fort Benjamin Harrison in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And Al could. And, you know, so Al did a lot of the talking at first, and Dad got involved with it, of course. And, yeah, that was – they sold out, let me see, I think it was the Chicago Amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
They set a record. They sold it out fast. That was the fastest it had been sold out. And at one point, they had the record for the fastest sellout at Madison Square Gardens.
Yeah, absolutely. And, in a lot of what the Kangaroo people remember about the Kangaroos, right, the paper boomerangs. That kids, right? Those were Don Kent, right? Don Kent was printed on those.
Yes, he was.
That is so ahead of its time.
We had crates of those at the house. And we used to, Dad used to get pissed at us because my friends had come over and we're down in the basement and we turn out all the lights and we'd have these wars and we grab these, the boomerangs, the paper boomerangs, cardboard. Yeah. Yeah. Only we didn't throw them one at a time. We'd put like 15 of them together and throw them at one another. And so he'd get pissed because, hey, that's the goddamn it. That's not what I got them for.
Yes.
And so
you're playing with money there, right?
Yeah. And well, he was more concerned with you better clean them up and you better put them back where they were and that sort of thing.
See, that's what's funny about the situation, right? A lot of us view Don Kent in one light, but you view Don Kent as dad.
Oh God, yeah.
And that's unique, right? That's different because we have one image of Don Kent as this star, this right on a pedestal, but to you, he's just like any dad, right? What you're talking about, right? Hey, you better clean those up.
Yep. Oh God, he was, and he got my mom pissed because he used to practice, he used to throw fire, but he didn't do it in Michigan because the Sheik did that too.
Right. Yeah.
And so Dad, he was practicing, he burned up the curtains in one of the basement windows, and my mother told him, "No more, you don't get to play with it downstairs."
Okay. So your dad was practicing throwing fire at home.
Yes. And I saw how I knew exactly how he did it. I went with him and my uncle to Colon, Michigan.
Sure.
That's where the magic, it used to be the magic capital.
Right, to get the flash paper. Yeah.
And so he had this little device that he put on his finger. You could barely see it.
Yeah.
And there was a cap in it and flash paper.
That's right. That's funny because my father-in-law, he's no longer with us, but he used to be, he was a magician. And he owned a magic shop. And it's funny, a lot of those, that connection to wrestling with the flash papers. I saw, you know, from his side, with the flash paper in one vein and knew it from wrestling from a different. And it was unique, right, to see that. And it's funny because back in the day, right, you didn't know. People didn't know what flash paper was.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. Well, before
Dad became one of the Kangaroos, uh-huh. Back when he was in his journeyman days, he got paid extra to bleed. If you bled that night, you got $10 extra. And so Dad had this, it was black electric tape that he'd wear around his fingers. It blended. I don't know how in the hell he did it, but you didn't notice it. And he had a razor blade in there with just a corner sticking out.
Sure.
And he'd nick the guy and then hit him and it would explode. Well, same for him. He'd nick himself sometimes. Just to, you know, get it going. And the cheek, if you ever checked his forehead out, you could see the cross hatching on his forehead where he'd been cut so many times.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Sheik, right? Don, your dad, right? Obviously, there's a lot of connection with the Sheik, right? Your dad's in the Kangaroos, right? Costello gets hurt, has to take some recovery time. Your dad, right, kind of goes solo. He's wrestling in Mid-America, but He ends up becoming a major star in Detroit. And yep. and obviously when you think Detroit, you think the Sheik. And the Sheik's known for maintaining that character.
Oh yeah.
Did your dad, did he ever talk with you or at home about Ed Farhat, the Sheik?
I lived at the Sheik's house for the first 6 months I was going to school at Michigan State.
Seriously, the Sheik Mansion?
Yes.
Really? Tell us about that. So you're in Detroit. What are you guys looking for a place on your own, or what's going on?
No, I was in school. I was in college.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, gotcha. Okay.
And so I was going to Michigan State. Gotcha. That's where I graduated from.
All right.
And the Sheik, we went up to see the Sheik because dad was the booker and the Sheik was the promoter for the territory.
Right.
And so we're up there and dad says, hey, he's coming up to school. You got anybody you can get him a job with? And so I went to work for one of the Sheik's relatives as a bouncer in one of the bars downtown. It was owned by the Johns family, the Josephs and the Johns. And they were all cousins of the Farhats.
Gotcha.
And so ended up getting an apartment in Williamston. But before that, I had to have some place to stay. So I stayed at the Sheik's house. And it was a madhouse, of course.
Yeah.
Did he
maintain that character around you, even at home?
No. Oh, no, God, okay. No.
Didn't worry about that. Okay.
No. Well, when dad said, can you find him a job or something? He goes, why didn't he sell dope like all the other kids? And he goes, he does. He's just not good at it. And I'm like, I looked at him. I said, I'm sitting right here, Dad. Jesus. And him and the Sheik just looked at me and laughed.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
That's wild. So you went to Michigan State, graduated from Michigan State. And, yep. And for your first 6 months in Michigan, back in Michigan, you lived with the Sheik at that mansion.
Yeah, well, roughly 6 months. It might have been five,
Right, 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 right. Yeah, I mean that house is, it's legendary within wrestling, right? Because,
the Sheik used to have that damn purple limo too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Sheik. He knew how to enjoy himself, I guess. Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, he, like you said, he liked to maintain his character.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not, but the Sheik was Catholic.
No, I guess I didn't really know that.
Yeah, he's Syrian. And yeah, he was also real good friends with Malcolm X.
Really?
Yeah, Malcolm X was from Lansing.
Yeah, okay.
And the Sheik knew him back when they were kids.
That's nuts. Really?
Yep.
So when you're living with the Sheik, right, and he's letting you, right, he's letting you know Ed Farhat, right, the non-character guy. What, did he ever say anything to you about maintaining the character?
No, uh-uh.
No, didn't even worry about it.
Nope. Oh, God, no. Well, I knew his son was living there, too. Captain Eddie.
Yeah. That's a character.
So, yep.
Yeah, but, what time period is this when you're living there?
I'm sorry, what?
What time period is it when you're living with the Sheik and going to college?
Oh, God, this would have been 1978.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so big time wrestling in Detroit, that's a big deal at that time.
Oh, God, yes. It was huge.
The Sheik was, he was Detroit, at that time. And during that period, your dad's huge in Detroit.
Yep.
That,
like I said, the Sheik and him were very, I'll tell you one other little thing that happened that most people don't know about. My school, I went, of course, Catholic school again, and they put on a wrestling match. The Sheik came. It was at the Battle Creek St. Philip Gymnasium, and there was Bull Curry and Flying Fred Curry.
Yeah.
And there was the Sheik and my dad, and I'm trying to remember, because they were all Catholic wrestlers.
Okay.
And what they ended up doing is none of them got paid that night. They donated all the money to the Catholic Athletic Association.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
So, and a couple of my friends, were at the matches, were at the matches and that. and they're making jokes about fake wrestling. And Bull Curry was swinging this chain with a padlock on it, and he cranked his son in the head with it. And you heard this big old crack, and all his blood came out, and these guys almost shit themselves.
Yeah.
They went, "Oh my God, that's real." And I said, "Yeah, that's real."
Yeah.
I just didn't tell him that normally that doesn't happen, but
yeah. Well, and another place your dad's really known for, right? Because he did tours there with the Kangaroos.
Yep.
But later he became a big, solo star and actually booked there was Puerto Rico.
Yes. Yep. Yes. He was down in Puerto Rico for a long, in fact, they had him and my mom had a, condo down there in San Juan.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Puerto Rico's a really rabid fan base and, very different, right? There's lots of whatever, batteries being pissed, being thrown. They're very enthusiastic fans.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, that had to be something that your dad loved, right? He had to eat that up. What did he think of working in Puerto Rico?
No, he liked working down there because it was warm.
Right, yeah.
Mom liked going down there.
Yeah.
And generally, he was on top down there.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, yeah, he had a good time. Unfortunately, there was a wrestler that was killed down there.
Yes.
Bruiser
Brody.
Yes. And yes. He was killed in the shower.
Yes.
And after that, Dad didn't go down there too much.
Yeah, that was definitely a shift in Puerto Rico wrestling.
Hugo Sabinovich was the booker, I think, down there.
Yeah.
And Carlos, can't think of Carlos's last name.
Yeah,
was Carlos the promoter.
Cole. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got a picture that's right next to my bed. That's my dad down in Puerto Rico with Dutch. I can't think of Dutch's last name. And they both are standing there with their arms on each other's shoulders looking at the camera. And there's a couple of Puerto Rican policemen and another Puerto Rican wrestler. And everybody's got a big grin on their face looking at the camera. It's one of my favorite pictures of my dad.
Yeah. Well, and throughout, no matter where your dad went, whatever else, right? He was predominantly a heel.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And he used to
love that.
Sure. And you being the child of a heel wrestler, did you ever have any trouble at school or being recognized for your dad? Again, right? Your dad didn't use the Smith name, so you had that. But did you ever encounter any trouble with your dad being a heel wrestler?
No, it was more along the lines of dad just being a wrestler and guys thinking that, because I was, like I said, at one point that dramatically changed when I got into high school, but I was very small.
Oh, okay.
And so usually I'd have to take care of it myself. And dad always told me, he said, "I don't want you, you don't throw the first punch."
Yeah.
He said, "You just finish them off."
Sure. Right. Okay.
So when I was a little kid, he taught me how to do a flying head scissors. And I used to do that. And my grandparents would have heart failure because my dad had that, "Come on, boy." And I'd jump and I'd, catch him around the neck and then swing around him.
Uh-huh.
And my grandparents, of course, would freak out. And my mother, "Why do you do that?" And dad's like, "Ha, ha, ha."
Yeah.
And dad and I went from the time I was like fifth, sixth grade, till all the way through high school and even after when I was going to college, he and I, if I was home or he was home and we both walked into a room together, we'd just fly at one another and start wrestling. My mother used to get madder than hell about it.
That's great.
But that was, he, like I said, he taught me a lot. He taught me a lot.
Yeah. And a friend of mine and a friend of the show, right? Jerry Graham Jr., Jerry Jaffe, he has always said, he's a longtime partner of Don.
Yes.
In the WWE universe. He has always, every time he talks to me, every time I interact with him, he always talks and credits Don with being like a brother to him.
Yes.
And how much, how close they were, how much Don taught him.
Jerry Graham.
That's right. And he always... I talk to him every week, and he always, almost always brings him up about how much he misses Don and how close him and Don was.
That is so nice to hear.
Yeah.
My dad used to get corned beef from him.
Right. Because Yeah, because Jerry's primary profession was right a meat the meat business.
Yes.
That's a long family business that he had in Toledo. And Jerry's often talked about some of the decisions he made in wrestling kind of had that business in mind, right? He didn't want to relinquish that business. It was very profitable. And especially in Don's later days with Bruiser Bedlam and everything, right? Don, or excuse me, Jerry used Don a lot, tagged with him a lot. They had multiple tag team title reigns in the WWA. On Don's side, on your dad's side, what did he think of Jerry? And
Oh
how?
God, he thought the world of Jerry Graham.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Because yes, that's the thing I remember most too, is dad would always break, like I said, the corned beef, and there was other things he'd bring home and that. And but he'd yeah, when dad got older, he Jerry Graham, yes. No, he thought the world of him.
And it's again, I talk to Jerry all the time, whether it be text message, whatever it may be. And Jerry, it's almost still, Don comes up all the time. And he
Oh,
talks
pleased to hear
about,
that.
he talks about, how much Don meant to him. And he viewed Don as an older brother. And how much he loved teaming with him, and how important he was. But for those of like us, for like me, who read our dads had, kind of regular jobs, right? My dad was a police officer, and I'm not gonna say that's a regular job, but you know what I mean.
Right.
It's always weird to me to think in your position, right? You have wherever you lived, you had this dad that had some level of fame, some level of notoriety, but at home, he's still just dad, right? He's still doing the same things that my cop dad did,
Yep.
just different jobs.
Dad used to always, when he was in Michigan, in the territory then, and he was always up for breakfast with us, my sister and I, before we went to school. And it wouldn't matter if he got in at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning back. He was always up and having breakfast with us.
And I don't think we can grasp that. That's a choice by your dad, right?
Yes.
That's a commitment to the family, a commitment to you guys to do that, right? To be a part of that. And I mean, and your dad, it's even deeper, right? Because your dad coached and did a lot of things later. Your dad always stayed very active within the
Yes.
community, and everything else. He,
Well, I got to tell you this. When I was in my late 30s, I picked up a little extra weight. Not much, but enough. And I had some gray hairs. And he looked at me. He says, "Look, boy," he says, "do something about the gray hair and the weight. You're making me look bad."
That's crazy.
And my sister and I always knew when he was going to go on tour when he was older, because he would dye his chest hair. Because he had gray chest hair, gray hair, and he would dye everything.
Knew he was getting ready to head out, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I was visiting him down in Tampa back in the 80s, early 80s, and he went out in the sun and his hair turned purple. And I looked at him, I said, "Jesus, Dad, you use that cheap dye. What do you mean?" And then I said, "Go look at your hair." And he was all pissed off, of course. He got it taken care of, but yeah. But he was never impressed with himself being, a wrestler or a star or whatever. We'd go to the Michigan State football games, and this is something that I tell the story. I've told this story 1,000 times about Dad. We'd go into the stadium, and he'd take a look at the stadium, and he'd tell me how many people were there, and before they announced, the what the official count was. And he would just be, he'd tell me he looks like 70,500, 72,000, whatever. And he'd be within just 100 or 200 of the number of people there.
Well, that's an old wrestling trick, right? Know what the house is.
Yes, and exactly. And I said, "How do you do that?" And he says, "Look, boy, when your livelihood depends on
That's
the
right.
gate, you learn real quick how to figure out how much is in the house."
That's right. When
And
you're paid by the house, you know.
oh, and then he finally told me how he did it, and I thought, brilliant. It
Sure.
was What he would do is he knew how many sections were in the stadium, and he would count the empty seats in each, you know, not each one of them, but maybe five or six of them, and then figure that's the way it was for the whole stadium, and that's how he did it.
Yeah.
And so he had a pretty good count within 5 minutes.
That's crazy.
And it was.
Yeah. And like I said at the top of the show, right, I always view your dad as so underappreciated in the grand scheme of things. Because he was such a great talent. But a lot of what he did kind of predates that major video era. Right. So there's not as much out there as you see for a lot of other wrestlers. And there's a lot of guys that fall trapped to that. Has that ever bothered you? Have you ever thought, man, my dad, he deserves a little more attention, but he doesn't get mentioned in these same breaths?
Oh, yeah. No, I used to. Yes, I still think that to this day.
Yeah, right. I agree.
He was extraordinarily good at what he did. There were baby faces. This used to kill me, is most of the heels were great guys and the baby faces were assholes.
I know. Yeah. You hear that all the time. Yeah.
And most of the heels, my dad, if he's had some fans that saw him out in public, he'd always stop and talk to them. And I remember when we were growing up that we'd be out to dinner and people had come over to talk to my dad and he'd always talk to them. But then he'd say, if you wouldn't mind, I'm here with my family. And then they were always nice. They always left, but he always took time. My mother used to get upset. And my dad said, those are the people that pay for us or that pay my salary. So he was always, and I got, when I was younger, I got upset at after one of the matches, they were calling my dad all sorts of names. And dad said, because I said something, doesn't it bother you? And he goes, no, why would it? He said, I know what I am. I don't care what they think I am. He says, if it stops them from beating their wife when they go home, or, you know, he says, it's cheap therapy.
Right. Yeah.
And that's how we used to look at it. People would say stuff to my mom about being married to my dad, you know, well, he's this and he's that, he's, you know, this big star. And she said, no, he's the guy that takes the garbage out.
Yeah. And that's, again, that's what a lot of fans don't remember, right? You hear about these outlandish characters and these outlandish personalities, and people forget about for lack of a better term, just normal guys who did this, right? And not saying they didn't love it or have a passion, but that was their job, right? That's what they did. But then they went home and did what all of the rest of us do.
Well, he did love his job too, though.
Sure.
He had offers to quit. He was offered the water commissioner job in Battle Creek at one point, and he said no. And he said he liked his life. He liked it. He enjoyed what he did. He really did.
Yeah. Well, and again, we talked about, you know, him being underappreciated, whatever else. What if you had, if you could write the tagline or whatever you want to say, how would you want people to remember Don Kent for?
Yeah, that's a good question. All I could I don't know how to answer that right now. But okay. I will tell you this. I look at, sometimes when I'm missing my pop, I go online and look at some of his old interviews.
Yeah.
And if you look at those interviews, you'll notice he's got a shit-eating grin on his face.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And what it was is he could never take it totally seriously.
Yeah.
To him, it was, he just couldn't help it.
Yeah. So
he'd almost have this like a maniacal look on his face, but it was him trying not to laugh.
Sure. Yeah.
So he could talk a blue streak. Oh, I got to tell you one more.
Yeah.
They were up in Canada, and this was back in the 70s. I think Looker Life magazine was still around. And they did a thing on the baby seal hunts up in Canada, up in Newfoundland.
Okay.
And they showed all these little, you know, these little tiny seal pups. When they first come out, they're a white fur. They're just, and they're so cute. And my dad was, this is something people don't know about. He's a real super animal lover.
Okay.
And so he was just outraged when he saw that. So he's up in Canada, Newfoundland, went on TV before the matches and said there were no men in Canada, definitely not in Newfoundland. It doesn't take a man to beat the seal to death with a club. How dare they? They've got no balls. They've got the, oh, he just went off on him. And that night, they had, it was sold out. There were people hanging from the rafters wanting to see my dad get his butt kicked. Of course, it didn't happen. But I mean, you know,
of course.
But that's how. And the funny thing I laughed about is usually when dad pulled those kinds of stunts, he was only having fun. That one he meant.
Sure. Yeah. And like I said, right, me included, so many wrestlers and other people, right, they admire and respect. They look up to your dad. They think he's underappreciated. He had this unbelievable Hall of Fame career, right? No matter how you cut it. But you obviously, you saw sides of him that few did. So you have this unique perspective. When you remember Don Kent from your side as the son, what do you remember most?
I always wanted to be like him.
Yeah? In what way?
The man. I wanted to be a man like him.
Yeah. Aside from the profession, right?
No, aside from the profession, I wanted to be him.
Yeah.
Not because he was famous or this or that. It was because he was such a great human.
Yeah. Well, and everybody I've ever talked to that knew Don Kent, that's what they say, right? They talk about, right, how great he was in the ring, how underappreciated he was in the ring, how he did his job to this unbelievable level. But they also talk about he was such a great guy, right? If you put the career aside, he was a good guy, right? He helped people. He liked people. He was fun to be around. He was enjoyable to be around. He was a professional. He did his job. He had no troubles, right? That was what he was.
He first identified, I don't know if you've heard of the Rex Steiners.
Yeah.
Scott Rex Steiner, and I can't think of his brother's name.
Rick, yeah, uh-huh.
Yep, and when they were wrestling at Michigan, they were damn good wrestlers.
Sure.
And Dad, that's what my dad, because that's what he was always talking about them.
Yeah.
And he kind of helped them get into pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Because he said they had the it factor, and he was always thought the world of those boys.
Yeah, and it panned out, right? The Steiners, right? They were huge stars.
Yes.
Yeah, and of course, Scott got his major start in the WWA, Bruiser Bedlam, in working around your dad with Jerry Jaffe and Jerry Graham Jr. at that time working around your dad. And again, everybody I've talked to that knew your dad or worked with your dad, you never hear anything negative. You always hear positive. And again, I was always a fan of your dad and always thought he was so underappreciated. You know, again, that's what it is, right? That the territory days, a lot of the primes, not on video. So you don't, modern people don't see as much. And, right, so some of it's lost to time. And you mentioned, right, that you wanted to be like him as a man. Well, did you ever consider following in his footsteps? Did you ever think about wrestling?
Oh, yeah. A couple of the promoters said something to him about the fact that Sheik said something to him about it.
Okay.
And Dad said, no.
Oh.
He's not going in there. No. And he did not want me in the business. He said, I'm a chemical engineer. And so he was very proud of the fact that I was able to do what I did. And later on, because I asked him, why didn't you let me wrestle? He said, because you would have made some good money and you wouldn't have finished school.
Mm.
And he said, that was where your future was at. I didn't want you to. He says, anybody can do this.
Yeah.
And I said, no, they can't, but okay.
But it harkens back again, right? Like any father. He wanted better for you, right? He wanted different for you. Something more. Not putting down what he's doing, but just saying, hey, you can achieve more without going through the aches and pains.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That. Well, I tell you, one of my eighth grade football games, I was playing against a friend of mine, and I wanted to make him look good. And so he threw a block at me, and I made this. He made him look like I went flying all through the air. And after the game was over, my dad said something to me. He said, I saw that bump you took. I looked at him and I said, you did? And he goes, yeah. I said, he said, you did a good job. He says, nobody else knew. He says, I knew it immediately what you're doing. So he, like I said, he taught me well.
Yeah. You can't work a worker, can you?
No. Nope.
Yeah. See, it's always, again, I've talked to a lot of children of wrestling stars, and it's always surreal to me, right, of what it was like to be the child of someone like that, because again, like your father, Don Kent, I put him on a certain pedestal, and it's always, I can't, it blows my mind to think what to you, I mean, while he might be on a pedestal, it's different, right? He's your father.
Yes,
so
exactly.
It's a different pedestal. And, you know, any admiration I have for my dad, it's weird to me to think what it would be like if my father were in that kind of position. And again, I respect my dad and all that, but, it's one of those things you can't fathom unless you're in that position. It's unique.
We never felt there was anything. We thought we were just normal kids.
Yeah, that's what's weird, right? I mean, to us, because right. it doesn't feel normal to those that don't experience it. But again, I guess that's right. That's a testament to your father that you felt a semblance of normalcy.
Oh yeah, it was that, and that's how much it was. It was to us. It was perfectly normal. I mean, it was, there wasn't anything, and they always used to tell us, my sister and I, you're not better than anybody else. You're just like everybody else. Don't think, you know, da, da, da. My sister and I almost got kidnapped down in Arizona. We were what, in third and fourth grade or fourth and fifth grade? Some people tried to kidnap us.
Okay. Because of your dad?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me about this. Tell me a little more about that.
Well, we were going to a Circle K, which was like the old party stores or the 7-Elevens.
Yeah, convenience store, yeah. Uh-huh.
And we were going, and our parents, you know, back then, there was nothing unusual for kids to jump on their bike and ride down there and that.
Sure.
And these people pulled up in a car on our way back, and they, hey, come on over here. And my parents had already told us about, you know, beware, because Dad was always worried about anybody finding out about his family.
Uh-huh.
And so they tried to get us to come to the car, and Val, my sister, started to go. And I said, no, don't. And then one of them got out of the car, and then she ran back to me, and we got on our bikes and rode like hell because they said, wait, come back, come back. And we told our parents. Dad had a couple friends with the Maricopa County Sheriff Department.
Uh-huh.
And they went out looking for him. I don't know what ever happened. All I know is that, but I do know that they did know who we were because they did call our names.
That's crazy. And how?
It was.
Did you ever figure out how they knew who you were?
No. I'm sure my parents were trying to figure it out too, but for us it was, we got away from it and that was that.
Unbelievable. That's nuts. That's scary. All right, well, let's wrap this up, because again, I could talk about your dad all night long, and I'm sure you could too. And but let's wrap this up. Again, like I've said multiple times in this, your dad's underappreciated, right? He deserves more attention. Has there ever been any thought on your guys' side to start an official family way for people to follow, Don Kent, and to show appreciation? To maybe follow any news or info on your dad, see some pictures and memories, maybe even do some merchandise or anything. Has there ever been thoughts of any of that?
No, not really. My sister and I haven't, no. My mother probably, she just passed away, but she probably wouldn't have let that happen.
Was your mom not a fan of wrestling?
She wasn't.
The typical wrestling wife, right?
Yeah, she wasn't.
Well, it provided, but yet it I'm sure it provided a series of headaches for her.
she used to be pissed because he'd be gone sometimes, especially early on.
Sure.
Six, eight months at a time.
Yep. So it's like being a single mom, right?
Yep. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
So I noticed on your picture there, is that, because I have a T-shirt like that I used to, and it said King of the Ring on it, Don Kent, Bulldog Don Kent.
No, my picture you're referring to, that's Dick the Bruiser.
Oh, okay.
I'll put your Dick, yeah. I would love to have a Don Kent T-shirt. Again, I'm such a big fan of your dad. And I always, anytime I see anything about underappreciated talent, I always mention your dad, because he was so good. And everybody always talks about that, and how, and again, not just the wrestling, because that's definitely it for sure, but just a man. You know, again, right? He was, you hear about these things, right? When he was done with wrestling, he coached and did all these things, and he was still such a great man. Yeah, and maybe you and I should talk off, because I really feel like there needs to be some vein of an official Don Kent, whatever you want to call it, an avenue, some form of social media for people to share some of their memories of Don. Because again, I'm always trumpeting the cause of Don Kent.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think he needs more recognition. And this, like I said, in this day and age, I feel like there should be something, right? I mean, I personally, I freaking love to have a Don Kent t-shirt, you know, something, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want some, you know, not without the family support kind of deal. Right. You know,
well, unfortunately the t-shirt that I had, it finally wore out.
I bet. So yeah, again, maybe we should, yeah, we may have to talk off air. About yeah. setting up something, right? A Facebook, something, just to give one central point for people to come in, if nothing else, just to share their memories, because he spanned so many eras, right? I mean, it's funny because with me, right, I remember the more 80s Don Kent. That's where I really was introduced to him, and then in later years, right. Doing research, found out more. But then there's all these other people that remember Don Kent, the Fabulous Kangaroo. And then yes. There's all these other people that remember Don Kent from Arizona. And then there's a segment of people that remember Don Kent from Detroit. And it's wild because he, in the territory, he had so much appeal across so many areas.
Well, he was what was a real good worker as far as, a lot of times he made a lot more money than some of the headliners were back sure. before he made it big.
Yeah.
Because he could make somebody look really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm always fascinated with the Kangaroos because they were ahead of the time in so many ways. Yeah. With even with merch, right? Selling the boomerang, the paper boomerangs and different things. That's something that today seems so common, but back then it was so unique. And
well, I've still got his shirt or his jacket and one of his hats around the house here somewhere.
That's crazy.
If and you I do have a boomerang still too.
Oh, if you ever come across that, send me a picture. I'd love to see a picture of that.
Oh, sure. Okay.
That would be great. Again, the paper boomerangs that came out that they gave out to, you know, like the kids and things. That's always been on my bucket list. I want one so bad.
And well, I've got one here. Let me see if I can find some more of them.
Oh, I love that, especially from the Kent era, because I know they did them in multiple incarnations of the Kangaroos. But again, being a fan of your dad, that's what I want from your dad's era. And again, Joe, I appreciate you. I know we've been trying to do this for a while, and you know, different schedules and problems. But I've always been a huge fan of your dad, and again, a lot of times when I talk to Jerry Jaffe, Jerry Graham Jr., well, I talk about your dad a lot. And
please tell him thank you and tell him I love the corned beef.
I will. I'll message you. Yeah, I'll text him and let you know that. And I'll let him know that. And again, I always love talking about your dad. And when his name comes up or when people talk about underrated, I always bring your dad up. I always throw your dad's name out there because he was so good for so long. And again, I love it because he's one of those guys that, again, like I said, when you talk to him, you don't hear negative things about him, right? You always hear, oh, he was so good at his job, but he was just a good guy. And so I appreciate that part of you. And it was so, it makes it such a pleasure to talk to you because, again, you have this unique perspective of being a son, which is different, you know, deeper than the rest of us have. And so it's unique. And again, I appreciate your time. And sharing those stories. And
well, Dave, I got one more for you.
Okay.
I worked for a Japanese company for roughly 20 years.
Okay.
Taikisha out of Tokyo.
All right.
And I used to have to go over there on occasion for meetings.
Okay.
And they found out who my dad was because he was very big in Japan.
Yep.
And so they got real excited. I was bringing a couple of customers over from Honda with me. And so the CEO, they came down. I thought they were coming down to meet the Honda people.
Yeah.
And no, they came down. They asked if they could get their picture taken with me, if I would mind.
Oh.
And I said, why? And they said, well, you know who your dad is. He knows the great Inoki and da-da-da-da-da. And I said, well, yeah, but that's my dad. That's not me. And they said, but you are his son. And so I had to take pictures with all of the top, the board of the Taikishi at the time.
Yeah.
And then the Honda engineering people, some lady and her husband joined us, and she asked if she could have pictures with me. So it was, I came home and told my mother about it. And I said, you know, dad's still, he still got it.
That's right. I mean, that has to make you proud, right? As a son.
Oh, it did. I had to write an article for the company paper because we're worldwide. And that was a big, you know, so I told him I had pictures of dad in Japan and he was close friends with a Japanese dentist. So I threw that in there and I almost told him the story about Ric Flair, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So. Well, I'll save that for another time.
All right. Well, again, like I said, I appreciate you giving me time. And you should be proud of your dad, right? And again, I'm glad you got to come on and talk. I'm glad we got to talk about your dad and
well,
share
I've enjoyed
some stories.
This.
Yeah. And again, I would love to do another part because I'm sure there's so many other things that we can talk about with your dad. So, and again, let's stay in touch because I think you need some official Don Kent social media of some sort. So we'll talk about that.
Okay, I agree with you on that. I kind of like that.
I do too.
I'm going to look around the house here and see if I can dig up some of the other stuff.
Again, I'd love that. Yeah, I'd love to see some of that. So yeah, let's stay in touch. Let's see what we can do to expand the exposure of Bulldog Don Kent. Joe, thank you for joining me. Thank you for talking about it. We'll do this again.
Because very good, Dave.
I can't stop talking about your dad.
Tell Mr. Jaffe I said hello too.
I definitely will.
We never met, but I'm sure he knows who I am.
I'm sure he does, yeah. So again, thank you for your time, Joe, and stay in touch. We'll do this again.
Thank you, Dave. And yeah, no problem. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course, all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/wrestlecopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills to keep the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
All right, and thank you to Joe for coming on and talking about Bulldog Don Kent. We'll have Joe back on the show in the future because I can't get enough of talking about Don Kent. Hey guys, make sure you follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much all the platforms. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or at The Dave Dynasty and you can find me. Also, be sure to subscribe to me on YouTube for lots of classic wrestling content, plus all of my various podcasts. And speaking of podcasts, go check out all of the other WrestleCopia Network podcasts. You can find the individual shows on your favorite podcast platforms, or you can visit WrestleCopia.com. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Visit ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account
and then download the app on all of your smart devices. Now, guys, again, like it's been here lately, make sure you keep an eye on my social media. I'll soon be announcing next episode's guest. It's going to be a good one. You know it. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. Hopefully you learned about Don Kent. Hopefully you'll go out there and dig a little deeper and look at some of his stuff. I've got some of his matches on my YouTube channel, so go check them out. Don Kent needs all the eyes on him and all the appreciation that he so, so richly deserves. So until next episode, guys, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.